This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. There have been more than 905,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19 virus globally, with an estimated death toll of approximately 46,000. It is spreading fastest in the United States, where more than 5,100 people have died. New York rushed to bring in an army of medical volunteers Wednesday as the statewide death toll from the coronavirus doubled in 72 hours to more than 1,900, and the wail of ambulances in the otherwise eerily quiet streets of the city became the heartbreaking soundtrack of the crisis. The nation's largest city is the hardest hit of all, with bodies loaded onto refrigerated morgue trucks by gurney and forklift outside overwhelmed hospitals in full view of passing motorists. The mayor of the city of Los Angeles on Wednesday told everyone in the nation's second largest city to start wearing masks to combat the coronavirus. But California's governor is not ready to take that idea nationwide, I should say statewide. Governor Gavin Newsom said Wednesday he's focused instead on keeping people inside. He also announced the state may need 66,000 additional hospital beds, 16,000 more than previously forecast, to handle the crush of illnesses expected during the second part of May. At an afternoon news conference, Mayor Eric Garcetti said that he had been awaiting advice from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on mask wearing, but with the COVID-19 rate surging, he had decided to wait no longer. The U.S. Coast Guard has directed cruise ships to prepare to treat any sick passengers and crew on board while being sequestered indefinitely offshore during the coronavirus pandemic. The new rules outlined in a memo are required for ships in the district that covers Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Puerto Rico. This is VOA News. U.S. President Donald Trump said Wednesday that he was considering a plan to halt flights to U.S. coronavirus hotspots as the United States struggles to contain the pandemic projected to kill at least 100,000. Such a plan might conceivably shut down traffic at airports in hard-hit New York, New Orleans, and Detroit. Domestic flights have already greatly reduced as demand has fallen in the wake of the pandemic. On Tuesday, Mr. Trump and physicians advising him said between 100,000 and 240,000 people in the United States are likely to die from the virus in coming weeks, even if Americans adhere closely to stay-at-home guidelines for April. U.S. President Trump announced on Wednesday that the United States will deploy Navy ships in the Caribbean and East Pacific to prevent drug cartels from taking advantage of the coronavirus pandemic and smuggling more narcotics in. Mr. Trump, joined by Defense Secretary Mark Esper and Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Mark Milley at a White House briefing, said the move is needed because there is growing threats that cartels and criminals will try to take advantage of the pandemic. The U.S. Navy is evacuating thousands of sailors from the nuclear-powered aircraft carrier USS Theodore Roosevelt in Guam. This after its captain warned a coronavirus outbreak was threatening the lives of his crew. The Navy says dozens of the 4,800 on board are infected with the COVID-19 virus. Some are already off the carrier, with more than expected to leave over the next couple of days. Pentagon officials say they're arranging for hotel rooms for many of the crew while sorting out who can be part of a skeleton crew to keep the ship operational. Russia sent the United States medical equipment Wednesday to help fight the coronavirus. President Trump, struggling to fill shortages of ventilators and personal protective equipment, accepted Russian President Vladimir Putin's offer in a phone call on Monday. A Russian military transport plane left an airfield outside of Moscow and arrived at New York's John F. Kennedy Airport in late afternoon Wednesday. A U.S. official in Washington confirmed the shipment was a direct result of Mr. Trump's phone conversation with Putin. The official said it carried 60 tons of ventilators, masks, respirators, and other items. The official said the equipment would carefully be examined to make sure it comports with the quality requirements of the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The United Nations says that the global economy would shrink 1% this year due to the new coronavirus. It's a sharp reversal from the pre-pandemic forecast of 2.5% growth. A report issued Wednesday by the U.N. Department of Economic and Social Affairs warns that the decline could be even deeper if restrictions on economic activities extend into the third quarter and fiscal stimulus efforts don't support income and consumer spending. Via remote, I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Thursday, April 2nd, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Some experts say African conflict zones need ceasefire for coronavirus aid.
Those countries experiencing war throughout the world are great risks because already there are no good systems in place. And where there are no systems, combating the virus or combating the epidemic has been found to be very disturbing.
Hand washing for coronavirus is becoming a tough message for some African communities without clean water. The Gambian community in North Carolina helps members who lost their jobs for coronavirus. Are coronavirus restrictions giving too much powers to some African leaders? And the DRC government is advised to use its foreign debt payment to fight COVID-19.
I believe that it makes sense for us to give priority to dealing with stopping the spreading of the disease in the Congo. And then afterward, we will find a solution as to what to do with external debt.
Noel Shiani is a former DRC presidential candidate. And Malawi grapples with mob attacks on accused vampires. Those stories and more are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Security experts say efforts to fight the coronavirus pandemic has been complicated by armed conflicts on the continent. Calls are growing for ceasefires to give healthcare workers safe access to all those at risk. Stacey Knott reports from Accra.
As African nations gear up and lock down to fight the spread of the coronavirus, security experts say armed conflicts across the continent are hampering efforts. Vladimir Antri Danso is the Dean of Academic Affairs at the Ghana Armed Forces Command and Staff College. Speaking via a messaging application, he says the virus poses additional problems for African countries in conflict.
Those countries experiencing war throughout the world are great risks because already there are no good systems in place. And where there are no systems, combating the virus or combating the epidemic has been found to be very disturbing.
There are at least 15 armed conflicts across Africa, and almost all nations on the continent have confirmed cases of the coronavirus. There are growing fears that the most vulnerable will be worst affected by both conflict and the respiratory disease caused by the virus COVID-19. Last week, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres appealed for a global ceasefire to help stop the coronavirus, calling it the world's common enemy. The UN chief said safe corridors were required for health workers and to bring life-saving aid to those in need. John Campbell is a senior fellow for Africa Policy Studies at the Council on Foreign Relations in Washington, D.C. Speaking via Skype, he says calls for ceasefires are well-meaning, but limited.
After all, insurgencies, most of the time, think what they are being insurgent about is much more important than anything else.
Campbell says the coronavirus could also play to separatist movements by undermining confidence in governments. However, one insurgency group declared its intention to adhere to the call for a ceasefire and also encouraged other separatists in Africa to do the same. The Southern Cameroon's Defence Force, one of the rebel groups fighting for an independent state in Western Cameroon, said they had listened to the UN call. SCDF spokesman Ebenezer Akwanga, in a statement Monday, said they would lay down their arms for 2 weeks to allow civilians to get tested for COVID-19. Akwanga also leads the Organisation of Emerging African States, a group that offers advice to African separatists. Speaking from Ghana via a messaging application, he says rebel groups should not stop medical aid reaching people in need.
The possibility could be created for international humanitarian workers to move into these war-torn zones and for these international humanitarian workers to be assured of their own safety and protection.
It did not appear that any other rebel groups fighting in Cameroon or other African nations agreed to ceasefire as clashes continued this week. Akwanga says Africa's frontline fighters need to understand that they are among those most at risk from the virus. He says people should come together to see the coronavirus as a common enemy that takes no prisoners. Stacey Knott for VOA News, Accra.
Regular hand washing with soap and water is one of the best ways to stop the spread of the novel coronavirus, and it has been touted by leaders and medical experts across the world. However, many places across Africa lack clean water, leaving people more vulnerable to the virus. As VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg, some NGOs are stepping in to try to change that.
Wash your hands. Wash your hands. It's been said by leaders and medical experts around the world. No matter who you are or where you live, if you want to help stop the spread of the coronavirus, wash your hands. As President Cyril Ramaphosa noted in his weekly address, the virus doesn't discriminate.
Some people may think this disease is something that doesn't concern them and that it will never affect them, that it is something they only read about in newspapers or social media, or see reports about on television. But it is very real, and it poses a great danger to every one of us and to our society as well. It infects the rich and the poor, the young and the old, black and white, those who live in the cities and those who live in the rural areas.
Those are fine words, but one of the biggest challenges on the African continent is the simplest: universal access to clean water. Even in relatively well-developed South Africa, millions of residents lack clean running water at home. It will take years to shore that up. So in the meantime, charitable organizations like Living Water International have gone into overdrive, setting up water distribution points and hand-washing stations in countries including Ghana, Liberia, Sierra Leone, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Uganda, Rwanda, and Burkina Faso. The organization's water and sanitation officer, Maitabela Chiang-Okomu, says people have enthusiastically embraced the program. She spoke to VOA from Nairobi via the Zoom conferencing app.
Today, everyone knows the beauty of washing hands. People have gone to an extent of even the border riders, the guys who are riding motorcycles, have their hand washing facilities. So the message is being passed through media, through community health volunteers. People are really responding positively.
This is especially important in high-density areas, including camps for displaced people and refugees. In those places, groups like Catholic Relief Services are also increasing their hygiene efforts, says the agency's Uganda country director, Nick Dehoy.
We are able to reach well over 1 million Ugandans with new messages around hand washing and hygiene promotion in general. And so very specifically, that can mean, for example, that in the refugee settlements in the very northwest of the country, for example, like Bidibidi settlement, we have volunteers that are standing at the hand washing points where the refugees collect their drinking water. And while they're fetching their drinking water, we basically take the time with the refugees to talk to them about the coronavirus and how to better protect themselves and their families, to make sure to keep their water clean and stored well, and that they wash their hands frequently.
Experts say it takes 20 seconds to properly clean your hands. It's not a long time, but it could make a huge difference. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
A former presidential candidate in the Democratic Republic of Congo says he has suggested to the government of President Felix Tshisekedi to immediately stop paying the country's $7 billion foreign debt and use the money instead to fight the spread of coronavirus. Noel Shiani, the leader of the Forces of Change political grouping, says not doing so will lead to the death of many people and others infected. He says when this happened, it would require more money from the international community to fix the problem. The DRC recorded 109 positive coronavirus cases as of Tuesday this week and 9 deaths. Shiani says everything should be done to stop the rapid spread of the pandemic.
I believe it is only normal and reasonable for the Democratic Republic of the Congo to suspend immediately payment to foreign creditors and use this money to fight the spread of this disease in our country. Because if we don't do it, the consequences are that there will be tons of people dead and more people will be infected, and that will require more money, including from the international community, to come and fix the problem afterward. I believe that it makes sense for us to give priority to dealing with stopping the spreading of the disease in the Congo. And then afterward, we will find a solution as to what to do with external debt. As a matter of fact, I am calling on the World Bank, the IMF, and all the creditors to consider canceling all the debt owed by African countries or developing countries, because the economies of this country will be destroyed after this pandemic, and we will need to mobilize more resources to put the economy back on track and create jobs for the people.
What do you say to those who say that the debt that most African countries owe was incurred years back, so it would not be fair to use the current coronavirus crisis to say that they should not pay their debt?
Well, I understand that some people might think that African countries are just trying to take advantage of this pandemic to renege on their promises to pay the foreign debt. I don't think that is reasonable. Nobody had planned the pandemic coming into the world these days. I think that we were all surprised. And when we have this kind of situation, which were not initially planned, we have to adapt to the new environment. And the new environment today is that all the countries in the world need more resources to put on the table to fight the pandemic, and African countries are no exception.
How serious is the coronavirus crisis in the Democratic Republic of Congo at this time?
In the Congo, at the beginning of March 2020, we had one person who tested positive to the coronavirus. And at the end of March, as of yesterday, the country has recorded 109 persons were positive to coronavirus. And in addition to the 109 person tested positive, we had 9 person who died of this pandemic. So this is a pandemic which is spreading quite quickly in the country.
Noel Shiani is the leader of the Forces of Change political grouping in the DRC. He was speaking with us from the capital, Kinshasa. You are listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Thursday, April 2nd. As the coronavirus is causing deaths across the United States, massive unemployment and uncertainties, the Gambian community in Raleigh, North Carolina, has been raising funds to help workers forced out of their jobs because of the pandemic. As Pandere Umbai reports from Raleigh, North Carolina, the community is also organizing conference call community prayers.
All over the world, hundreds of millions of people are left unemployed as communities close down to fight the coronavirus outbreak. The U.S. is now the disease epicenter with almost 200,000 cases of the virus, which was discovered in China late last year. In Raleigh, North Carolina, the Senegambian community has decided to come to the aid of residents in dire need of help. Paibu Jeng is the imam of the Raleigh Muslim community.
We have a fundraising that is going on, and people are really contributing to help people who are out of work. There are a lot of us who are out of work, especially some of our ladies who are braiders. All these salons are closed now. Now we are trying to raise funds to give them a little bit, and the fundraising is going very well.
Jeng says the fundraising had attracted the participation of Christians and Muslims living in an area known as the Triangle, the cities of Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill in the southeastern state of North Carolina. He also notes that, given the proximity between Senegal and the Gambia, the community here has been living as one people. Jeng says his role as an imam goes beyond leading the congregation at the mosque.
Imamship is not only by congregation. In times of difficulties, imams are on the phone constantly, praying for people, asking for people their problems, consulting them, talking to them. I mean, this is one of our roles. It's not only to be a ceremonial imam, just come to the minbar and just make sermons, stuff like that. No, we are talking to them constantly. I am definitely in contact with a lot of our sisters and brothers who are going through difficulties.
Jeng says he is not aware of any Gambians in his community who have been diagnosed with the coronavirus yet. He calls on the community members to stay indoors and respect the state's advice for personal hygiene.
There are professionals in any issue. The doctors are the professionals. If we are sick, we go to the hospital. And then if they advise us to stay home, do not go to the mosque or to the masjid. Just stay home. Number two, let us understand that this is a trial. Allah said in the Quran too, if you are merciful to each other, Allah will bestow his mercy on you.
Mandaloom is a leader in Raleigh community of Gambians and Senegalese. Loom thinks prayers can help in a time of crisis.
We are organizing a special prayers too. Prayers is the power of everything. We have a number to the call to join us with this special prayer for this coronavirus.
Many members of the Senegambian community live in Raleigh are mainly engaged in operating braiding salons and service industry businesses and other low-skilled jobs. They have been particularly hard hit by government orders to close non-essential businesses.
If I'm earning money and a friend of mine is in need, I cannot hold that money. I have to help. As a community leader, as a Muslim, I cannot hold that money at the bank. So this is the problem. Whether directly or indirectly, it's affecting everybody now.
Loom has called on the community to help each other.
All of our sisters who are working on the salon, they are all crying because you have to pay your bills, your electricity and those kind of stuff. All the barber shops, all the salons, even the mechanics, they've been affected with this crazy stuff going on. Even we working in the retail shops, we are affected too.
Experts in the U.S. warn that a large surge in cases could happen in the country this month, even with businesses and schools closed. For VOA Africa, this is Pandering by reporting from Raleigh, North Carolina.
By declaring a state of emergency and invoking emergency laws amid the coronavirus outbreak worldwide, Senegal's president, Macky Sall, has used these powers to enforce a curfew and announce monetary aid. Governance experts such as Abdou Aziz Diop, a teacher in the capital, Dakar, spoke to Ricky Stryak and warned about the dangers of granting too much power under the state of emergency law.
I think that the law is for habilitation to the head of state, a good thing in this moment. But the Assembly National don't have to give the full powers to the head of state to do everything he wants. I think that they have to control to maybe the priorities for fight the coronavirus, for the solidarity. But they don't have to give the full powers to the president to do everything during the 3 months. They are maybe for 1 month, and they have after to control, to monitoring what they have to do. Because it's a good thing in the moment to fight the coronavirus.
Is there a concern that Macky Sall is asking for too much power at this moment?
My point of view is they don't have to give full powers to the president of the republic, only for the priorities.
There's a meeting this week of the National Assembly. Is there a concern that Macky Sall will ask for more power? And do you think there's a risk of abusing that power?
Yes. The nature of the regime, they have a presidential regime. Before the coronavirus, the president has too much power. And when Assembly gives him more power, full power, he can arrest it. They have to decrease the power for the priorities. Only for the priorities, for 1 month or 2 months, must because if they give the president power, they can do to control. And after, if he abuses for the power, it will be dangerous.
Is there a concern that he has too much power over how the aid is distributed, how the money, how the budget he has said will go to Corona is distributed?
That's why we ask to the Minister of Health to don't collect money, to don't collect money, collect donation, that the Minister of Finance has to collect the money. We propose to have a commission, a transparency commission, for all people, civil society, the state, the member of state, the private, the religious, the press, mm-hmm. And they have the accountability, they are relevant, and they choose who have to benefit to the exoneration,
to the donation. Good governance here.
That was Abdou Aziz Diop, a teacher and governance expert in Senegal. You're speaking to Ricky Stryak from the capital, Dakar. Malawian officials are taking steps to stop a new wave of mob attacks on people accused of being vampires. Officials say five people were killed in attacks in three separate areas last month. Similar attacks killed nine people in 2017. The government is reminding the public that vampires do not exist, and police are arresting those accused of spreading false information. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Local media reported Tuesday that police in the northern district of Nkatabe used tear gas to disperse a mob which attacked workers from the National Statistical Office as they were conducting a survey in the area. Police say the mob accused the researchers of being vampires as their work involved the collection of blood samples of participants. Rumors of vampires sucking people's blood started in early February and have spread to six districts in central and northern Malawi. Some residents believe vampires use modern technology to immobilize victims late at night with a chemical and then drain their blood before disappearing. This has prompted some residents, like Agnes Zimba, to sleep in groups outside their houses for safety. Zimba spoke to VOA by phone. She says, "We fear we can have our blood sucked if we sleep alone in our houses. We are even failing to go to our gardens for fear of being attacked by vampires there." Local authorities believe the rumors originated from neighboring Zambia. In some areas, the rumor has led to a rise in vigilante groups mounting ad hoc roadblocks and searching vehicles. On Monday last week, three medical workers were attacked in the central district of Nchinchi for carrying medical equipment that could be used to take blood samples. Last Saturday, two people, including an aide to a traditional leader, were killed in the Kasungu district for allegedly hiding accused vampires. Mobs killed three others last month in the attacks in the Central Dowa district and in Zimba district in the north. James Kadadzela is a Malawi police spokesperson. He told a VOA via WhatsApp call that rumors of vampires are a hoax. He also said police are cracking down on those involved in the vigilante attacks.
As I'm talking to you, 37 suspects have already been arrested and they will answer for murder. Others for assaults, others for malicious damage.
Rumors about vampires also erupted in 2017 in southern Malawi, triggering mob attacks that caused the deaths of nine people. Malawian President Peter Mutharika helped to stop those attacks after visiting the affected areas and ordering police to arrest anyone spreading rumors. Mark Bottoman is a government spokesperson. He told VOA in a telephone interview the government has no plans to send out the president this time around.
It doesn't necessarily have to take the head of state to visit the areas for people to know that this is not right. So we do not have such programs at the moment. As you know, that the head of state is also restricting himself from moving around because of the situation which we have now, the coronavirus.
Bottoman said the government will instead try to persuade people not to believe in false information. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre.
And that's it for this Thursday, April 2nd edition of Daybreak Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Butte in Washington, hoping that you have a great day.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation. Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, the deadly coronavirus is spreading across Africa, causing anxiety and fear. Join me, Linor Moudou, and a panel of experts to answer your questions about COVID-19 and to distinguish myth from fact on a special edition of Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.